Good morning. It's good to be here. Another way to say it, it's good to be live. I've been hesitant to talk about my battle just because I don't want to give the devil much glory. You know, his goal is to stop us. But I think we'll talk about the battle a little bit today. And when we talk about any kind of battle or war, we want to be careful with, I personally want to be careful with sounding self, you know, I don't know if that's the right word, it's where you take care of yourself, you know, like no one's special in the kingdom of God. And for years I hear people, you know, talk about how the devil did this, and you know it was something they did. You know, the devil messed with my marriage, and yeah, I get that, but if you picked the right mate early on, it wouldn't be so bad, you know. You know. So, talking about the battle, I'm starting with, this is the battle for those people who are pressing in to the walk of love, the walk of God. And I don't want to ever sound like self-protective. And I think it's important, though, that we talk about the war, because so many have been in a war that has confused us. I found through this battle that I've been in, because the devil tried to kill me, and it's a surprise how he tried to kill me. The doctors don't even know why it happened. I went to the doctor one night because I was having symptoms, and when I got to the doctor, to the emergency room, they checked me out, and John was with me, and they checked me out, and they said, everything seems clear, you seem okay, you're past any kind of danger point. And then they said, take this pill, this will help drop your, my blood pressure was high, this will help drop your blood pressure. And they gave me this pill, and I started to shake. And I said, I'm really shaking. And the doctor left the room at the time, and it was just a nurse with instructions. And she said, well, I'm supposed to give you three of these. And I said, well, are you sure? I'm really, like, shaking here. Oh, yeah, this is how it works. And so I took the second pill. And then on the third pill, with all the doctors gone, as soon as she gave me the third pill, the nurse left. And thank God that John was with me, because that's right then all the little lights started going red, and I dropped down and I almost died right there. And John ran out and got the doctors, and that's, I ended up with this, with a stroke. Nothing on my left side worked. And to be clear, I've had two doctors tell me, that at 3 months and 6 months, you know, that's your recovery. That's it, as far as you go. But then I had another doctor tell me, I'm already a miracle just to be standing and preaching, you know. So how many know we stand on the Word of God no matter what the battle is? And please understand, I don't think that my battle is any worse than some of yours, because the enemy comes to stop us. He comes to destroy. And I also I want to be clear that I don't believe that sickness or disease is anything we have to accept. Okay, so it's not, now, persecution, you can't stop that. How do you stop your friends from leaving you, you know? famine, how do you stop it when your business goes bad or your finances hit the tank, you know? But sickness is something we have authority to stand against. As a believer, every person does. So that's the foundation of how we receive a healing. But it doesn't mean, just because we don't accept sickness as part of the attack, it doesn't mean that's not, the devil doesn't try to throw everything at you and try to see what sticks. So in some of this, I really want to address today, and I'm just speaking from my heart. I've been trying to refuse to preach about my problem and just keep preaching, like I'm not going to give the devil any respect at all, you know. But some of the things that have come up out of my heart during this have shown the religion that's been built in me through culture over the years, such as you must have opened the door for the devil. And I want to talk about these because I'm sure many of you have been through some war, and those listening around the world who've been on this walk of prayer and have found yourself in a war, and those on the outside will look at us and use these terms. Well, I found some of these terms coming out of my own spirit or out of my own heart in questions. Questions like, well, you must have opened the door to the devil. So I thought, well, and talking to a good friend of mine who's a word man, believing for a miracle himself, I said, now, let me think. I know a bunch of preachers throughout the years, and some of them have lived lives that are extra, you know, on the wild side. And, you know, if anyone opened the door to the devil, you know, so, and I said to my friend who's believing for a miracle, he said, let's think, how many men of God do we know? How many Christians do we know? Do we know anyone who's perfect? So everyone that we know has a open door to the devil, technically. So I just want to take that and put that on the table. Because even in me, I'm sitting here now. If you don't know, I had a stroke, which was called, a good one. And I'm laying in bed with a stroke. My left side's not working. And I hear about a preacher who had a heart attack. And out of me came, oh, I wonder what happened to him, what he did. You know, and I'm laying in bed with a stroke. You know, so these are things that come out of me. And I thought, man, I still got this when it comes to the war. And I'll tell you what it is, and I love the term American Christianity or self happiness Christianity has said to us the goal, the prize, the reward of faithfulness, the reward of seeking God is prosperity and lack of trouble. And so that's the goal of Christianity in America today. Be blessed, you know, that the Lord wants you blessed even as your soul prospers. Okay. And I know that verse, even as my soul prospers. That's how God wants me blessed, abundantly. But yet, what happens when the devil comes to stop you? Why is he trying to stop you? So things like you left the door open for the devil, or you stepped out of the hand of God, you know. And again, I want to address this because, and part of my concern is we don't ever want to preach out of experience alone. We don't want to use experience as to go to the Word, but that is kind of how you preach as it is. You listen to Apostle Paul, you can take one verse one way or another verse the other way. I remember sitting in a service with Pastor Dave, and not here, and the preacher was a guy talking about prosperity, and he just talked about how blessed he was in every way, and how that's what you give, and God will bless you back. And when we left, Pastor Dave said, well, that doesn't work with the Apostle Paul. Beaten, you know, stoned, in prison. You know, can you imagine? There's a ministry called Standby. You know what Standby is? Those are the guys that traveling with Apostle Paul, walking along, and then he's stoned, laying there dead, and they're just standing by. Oh, what do we do now? You know, then he gets up, and then he goes to prison. Like, what do we do now? Then he gets up, and then he gets persecuted and chased out of cities, and what do we do now? You know? There's a part of the gospel of warfare where I think the terminology of you stepped out of the hand of God, and I don't want to justify myself. I'm not trying, this message is not to justify what happened to me, okay? But I want to address a few things like you stepped out of the hand of God, or or things like that, because it's easier to say that you open the door to the devil than it is to accept when you look at someone else. You open the door to the devil than it is to accept that if we're really going to see the gospel in the New Testament, then you expect a war and expect a rough ride. I'd rather say you're having a rough ride than you open the door to the devil.
Right.
How many are here have been feel a little bit of a rough ride as you follow God? I mean, we're preaching love, we're preaching the gospel, and things don't seem to work out. There's resistance. See, just remember this if you're getting tackled, that it's only the guy carrying the ball that gets tackled.
Right.
Just remember that. So if you're going through a rough ride and your relatives come by and say, well, what are you doing wrong with your faith? You know, look at me. I have no problems. You know, everything's working out for me. I'm blessed. And you go into that prayer center praying and all hell comes against you. And just say, well, it's only the ones that carry the ball that get tackled, you know.
Right.
Everyone else, they leave alone, you know. All right. So I just want to say that because these are things that I have had to argue with within me. And, you know, when you question God, why, how, and I don't get an answer yet. I'm still waiting for an answer. And normally I get answers, you know, but I haven't got an answer. So when I question God, it's kind of like this. When you've been through a hard time, how many have asked God why and you haven't gotten an answer yet? Well, with our kids, we have different languages. We say things differently. So when I have Harrison, we have different languages for him, different ways of talking to him. When he's doing good, Harrison, I'm so proud of you. When he's not listening, it's Harrison. You know, so you have different ways of when you talk, oh, I love you, I'm so proud of you. But when someone's really hurt, are really broken, there's no words. So your father comes and he stands with you, puts his arm around you, and he holds on to you. And it's not a word of, this is not the time to teach you.
Right.
This is a time to reassure you that if you don't quit, you're going to win.
Right.
And he's here with you during that time. So it's a choice. It's a choice of your heart. And I preached all last year about Job, and I almost got out of the emergency room or the ICU bed and beat up Gary Carpenter when he came in to visit me. And he said, you know, first he said, you'll get through this. You know, he went through attacks in the past. He said, I know what you're thinking, but you're going to get through it. He said, didn't you just preach about Job there last Sunday? And I almost got out of bed and said, I'm going to give you a Job right now. <You know? laughs> But part of the American gospel has made the goal of Christianity self-focused. It's turned us into retirement-focused Christians. That we're the blessed ones in the world. Not the persecuted ones, not the ones suffering, not the ones under attack. And it's because we're in America, and thank God for that. But prosperity is a much easier way to turn people into ineffective Christians than persecution is. And so we have assumed that the persecution has been because of religion overseas in different countries where they chop your head off if you say you're a Christian. But the persecutor is still here because he's of the spirit. He's not of flesh. And he is out to stop you and me from going to the place where we can change the world. And so if you're under attack or under war, I'm proud to be part of the battle with you. And I want to go back over just a few verses I'm sticking to in Romans chapter 8. I know that your natural soul the natural man, the monkey on your back, constantly wants reflection or approval from God. And so it's always trying to offer God something, a work. And you know the difference between works and work, right? Works with an S is when you try to give God something to get something back that he's already given to you, that Jesus had paid the price for. That's a work with an S, works. But work is okay. You know, hours praying in tongues is not a works. It's work, but it's not a works, you know. And so when you go through a hard time, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, because I don't want anyone to expect to go through things that I've gone through or anyone else has gone through. But like I told Nathan, a bunch of young people came to visit me in the hospital. I said, look, I have to beat this principality, because on the other side is something awesome. And it's through God's mercy. Whatever he's protecting, he came to kill me. And out of God's mercy, I lived. And I still get to beat him. And I could have done it probably with more finesse, without having to go through some of this. But I still get to beat him. And let me share something about God that doesn't work good. Like, when I say word of faith, I want you to understand, I absolutely 100% believe in the principles of the word of faith. But some of the goals that men have taken those principles to use towards is what I don't agree with. And God saw that I would be willing to go do whatever the price. Years ago, when I said, God, I'll pay the price. I want what you want for me. Not my life, but your life. When he saw that in me, and when he saw that in you, he put you with a group and on a path that would take you to a place of changing the world. Okay? And so he had a choice with me, because I've been doing my best to follow God. So God had a choice with me. He could have led me down a choice and allowed me to take one of the career jobs as preachers that I turned down, because he wouldn't let me pass being a pastor or running a big church. I had many opportunities through the years. How many have had opportunities to take an easier path, but you just couldn't do it? Say thank God for praying in tongues. And so he had a choice with me to allow me to live a life of luxury, of easy riding, sweet home Alabama. Yes. With biscuits and gravy and all the good stuff, or take me down a path of suffering and war, not just with the enemy, but with my own flesh. No matter what that battle took. And he chose to take me down a path of war. Because the only reason if you're following God and following this message, you're going through a war, is because he knows you'll get through it.
Amen.
If you don't quit. The failure is not the struggle. The only failure you can have is if you quit. That's the only way you fail. No matter what it looks like, the devil will strip you of every ounce of self-power, self-courage, self-hope, outside source of reflection of how you feel about yourself. And you're going to end up looking to one place only, and that's him as your strength, as your hope. So I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what your bank account says, what your hopes and dreams say as they wither on the line. I don't care, because there's only one hope, and that's in our Father. And because you have hunger enough to follow him, and this is why, let me say this. I'm preaching a little bit, so that's good. I like that. Let me say this. If you're led by hunger, it'll only get you so far. If you're a seeker of truth, that'll only get you so far. Because you're going to keep looking. See, that still puts you in power to choose. There's a part of this walk where you give up your power to choose. And I had someone ask me, well, what do you think about, would you ever go leave the prayer center or, you know, and I said, look, I didn't come here because I wanted to come here, but God didn't let me come here for 10 years. But he sent me here. So because he sent me here, that means I don't get to choose if I leave or what. It's not a choice. But I don't like this or that. What's the choice? What's the problem? You know, God put us here. He knew what it like when he knew exactly what it would be like when he sent you here. So given you the power yourself, the power to choose, which way do I go, then you're going to find that you'll run when the hard times come. But when you get loose of the power to choose and say, God, I am a man, a woman of God, even though when I look at myself, I may not feel like it. Because one of the things your flesh wants is to do something to feel good about who you are. And so when the enemy strips that from you, then what happens is you have a trust with God built on who he made you and not what you do for him. It's really a way of getting rid of works and learning to be a believer, a child of God, and not just a worker of God. And so if you find yourself in a depression, one of the questions someone asked me who was going through a battle was, I have good days, but then I have bad days, you know. Well, understand depression's only of your natural emotions. Has nothing to do with your spirit or who you are. So just be depressed and get through. Just keep walking. You can have a depressed day and not change one bit. It's not a reflection of where you stand. You know, because I used to be taught that faith meant that you didn't have bad days. Faith meant that if you thought you were going to fail, you lost all your faith. You're not in faith if you feel like, oh, I hate what I'm going through. When you drive by the pretty church and all the nice cars and your family's all happy and you're looking and wondering what's going on in your life and your friends who you went to high school with have nice houses. And see, the goal of this gospel is not to have a nice house. The goal of this gospel is to change the world. And there is an enemy at the door whose gates are shut. And God's looking for a believer or believers who will crash those gates. Yes. Because they're crashable. We can tear those things down and open up the floods for heaven. And so if you're having a depressed day or feel lost, who cares? Say, I don't care. It doesn't change my walk. It's okay to have a depressed day. Being out of faith is not having a bad day. Being out of faith is when you change the course that God puts you on. You let something, prosperity, an easier path, a nicer path, lead you off, or you let all hell that comes against you chase you off the path that God puts you on. Don't change paths. God spoke to me right there. There's been such a grace on me, and I'm going to be able to talk about grace forever one day, how there's a strength that's on me and my family that's not from ourselves. And it's from God, it's from the family, the prayer, and that's carried us through this and will continue. But there's a grace that'll carry you through everything, no matter what the devil brings against you. And I hope you understand, I'm not trying to preach like a wounded warrior justifying being wounded. Okay? I'm trying to preach that if you're in the spot that I'm in or similar, because it doesn't have to just be a physical attack. All right? With extreme prejudice, the devil is trying to take you off of this path of love. And he'll use psychological warfare. He'll use emotional warfare. He'll use every kind of warfare against you. You're like, who am I? I'm not Pastor Dave. I'm not a preacher. But we're not a family of preachers. We're the body of Christ. And we're a family, a body that's full. And God wants the whole body to know Him, not just the preachers. So, of course, He's trying to stop you. So, keep walking. You're worthy of warfare if you're in warfare. And it means you're going to win if you don't change course. Don't let the enemy chase you off of the path that you're on. And when the Lord spoke to me right in the middle of everything, I was peaceful. I mean, they were wheeling me around in that one of those carts and putting me in machines, and I had peace the whole time. I mean, it was like I wasn't even me. I was just being pushed around, and the Lord said, He didn't say disease came or sickness came, because they checked me, and all my arteries were clean, my heart was clean. They have no idea, like no physical idea of, you know. During all that, the Lord spoke to me and said, darkness has come. This isn't a battle of healing. This is a battle of wills. He said, darkness has come to try to get you to give up and change course. And to lose hope. To me, if you look at the New Testament preachers, they were led off to their deaths. Everyone but John died a martyr's death. And God asked them to do it. They didn't have to die until they yielded over. God asked them to be a seed, a revival, and I want you to die here. Will you do that for me? And they gave up their lives for the gospel. And there's a war. If you look at a battle of war, it's not how you feel that day. So yes, we want to keep our hope in front of us. Yes, we want to keep the goal of where we're going in front of us. That's what keeps me going every day, is I know where I'm going to end up. Okay, so if you have a day that you don't feel hope, if you imagine a bunch of guys getting ready to go to war, and you're on the front line, and you get a little 2 hours of sleep, you wake up and you're dirty, your guns are loaded, you got filled full of bullets, you eat a little bit of food, and this and the sergeant or whoever comes, commander says, okay, boys, let's go. We're going to go fight those guys and kill them. And you wake up, you go, I don't feel that good today. I just don't have a good hope. I don't feel great. I feel depressed. Okay, well, you're okay. Just sit in that for a while, and we'll come get you tomorrow. He's going to kick you in the rear and say, what does that have to do with it? Get up and walk. Keep walking. Because all those emotions of your flesh are just emotions of your flesh. They're not who you are. So Romans chapter 8. We're going to read here. I mean, we can start anywhere, but you know, I'm going to read this verse, then I'm going to jump somewhere, and I want you just to reconsider some of these scriptures a little bit. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this time, of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the what? Glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I'm not trying to attribute sufferings to attacks, but I do want you to stay, look in the same chapter and look at verse 35. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And we've gone over this lots this last year, that this is not a grace, sir, this is not a grace verse here. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? No matter what I sin, I can do whatever I want in my flesh, and nothing will separate me from God's love. Will always be with me. That's not this verse. Because we know that's true, that God loves you. God loves the people in hell right now as much as He loves the people in heaven. This verse tells us, who shall separate you, us, from the love of Christ? This love here is not a relationship with God. It is a pathway. It is a, and when I say path, I kept seeing something more, and then I think Hans preached the other day here about a vein, being a vein. And to me, that's so much more, a better way to describe it, because it's a complete tube. It's full. It's not just a walkway. This road we're on, this path we're on, this this amazing place we're going carries with it everything you need to finish it. Right now, you and I have everything we need to finish this walk, no matter what the enemy brings, if we don't quit. And it has grace to carry you through when you feel like you got nothing left. And there is nothing left. When you feel no ambition anymore, when you feel no more desire, no more motivation, who cares? Get up and keep praying and keep walking. Well, did I pray enough? Is that why the devil was able to do this to me? Well, let me just stop you right there. I know lots of preachers outside of the prayer center. And if you've been here 1 year, I'll guarantee you have prayed more in tongues than 98% pastors have prayed in this earth. Have I fasted? Well, if you fasted 3 days, you've done more than most preachers have. Have I fasted enough? Have I read the word enough? Every tool we have, if you've just done a little bit, then you've done more than most men of God who are professional preachers have done. And I'm not trying to degrade them. I'm just trying to tell you. Have I fasted? The reason you're going through such battles is because you're on a path that's going to take you somewhere that the devil wants to chase you off that path. But on that path carries every bit of grace, every bit of power, every bit of love. The love is not an emotion. The love is the expression of God's love from heaven through you to this earth. And as long as our flesh is in the way, our desires are in the way, our dreams are in the way, our own life is in the way, He is limited to what He can do. But when we go through whatever it takes, and if it was up to God, He would say, I'm just going to take you to heaven right now because heaven's beautiful. But He wants to harvest the billions of people who are being deceived and are going to end up in hell. Do you understand? People are waking up being born and living their whole life and falling off into hell every day. And it's because the gospel has been made powerless. And when they asked Jesus, they said, Who are you the Jesus? Are you the coming one? John wants to know. He didn't say, I am, I am. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. Yes, tell John, thumbs up. He said, you go tell John the things that you see and the things that you hear. In other words, look what's going on behind me. The blind eyes are being opened. The deaf ears are being opened. The cripples are walking. You disciples of John, look what's going on. And then you go tell John what's going on. And then you ask him if I'm the coming one. And that's the question the world has. Are you the preacher or not? Do you have the Jesus that I'm looking for? Or the answer? We can philosophize and teachifies and motivize and do all kinds of things. Because some of the arguments I've heard in the American gospel is, you know, if your neighbor sees you in a nicer car than his, he's going to want to know how you got that. And you can share him that God gave it to you, and he's going to want it. You know, what would your neighbor say if you walked over and said, I'm paying off your mortgage? You know, yeah, he may like you. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the symbol of the gospel is to be powerful and destructive to the kingdom of the devil. So it says here, for who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written. Now, this is the Apostle Paul saying this. For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to slaughter. Now, I want us just to think about these verses a little bit, because in the New Testament church, there was much persecution. In fact, the apostles didn't willingly leave Jerusalem. They were persecuted and chased out of Jerusalem. The New Testament church were being persecuted and beat. And robbed, and some being stoned and killed by the religious people. And so here he's saying to him, As it is written. Now listen, this is the Apostle Paul saying, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And again, my argument for that word love is that it is a pathway that contains everything we need to finish. As Pastor Dave says, the place called done. And for your sake, let me read again, 35. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or distress or nakedness or peril or the sword? So these are the things that the Apostle Paul might say, all right, I started to follow God, I found love, and guess what showed up? Everywhere I went, they tried to stone me. I just go to a new place. No one knew my name. And there they were, after me. And he found on his path tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword. They tried to kill him. As it is written. Now think about this. For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Can you imagine a bunch of those? I'm just a little sheep following my shepherd Jesus. And it feels like they're out to kill me. I want to preach this gospel because this is the gospel of the New Testament. An Americanized gospel has made it failure to go through, if I say this properly, I'm not trying to make an excuse for me, I hope you understand, I'm not trying to preach out of experience, but I believe the Americanized gospel has, because it carries such a prosperity with it, has made the real gospel a failure if you go through the real gospel in the New Testament. We have men who are called to be evangelists, who have a gift of evangelism, who walk out on the street and run into 10 people who are born again, who need to get born again. They're ready to get harvested. Do you ever hear evangelists? I'm not talking about traveling evangelists. I'm talking about the guys who are called to win souls. They're called to it. Like everyone's called to it, but they're gifted for it. So they go to the restaurant and the waitress is crying because they pick a table and there's the waitress crying. And they get her saved. And so these are guys who are called to evangelism. And they have a gift on them. And they come up and start telling you their testimonies. And then you feel like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. And then you try it and you fail. Because we're the body of Christ. We're not all called to be evangelists. Or a businessman comes up and says, well, I'm going to teach the church today how to be prosperous. Last year I made $10 million. How would you like to make $10 million? And if you do what I tell you to do, if you're blessed like God blesses me because I'm good, then God will bless you too. And so we try to do what the businessman does and we fail. Because not everyone's called to be businessmen. Not everyone in the gospel. Not everyone in the family are going to be millionaires. Some of you will be millionaires, but you won't get to spend it. Some of you will be broke and live your life in a country, in a hut, trying to save a little group of people. Some of you, he may take and ask you to go to a place where 5 minutes off the plane, they're going to kill you. This is the gospel about being a seed of harvest for people to be saved. Quit trying to be someone else. God wants you to be you. His relationship is with you, and he's got a place for you in this body. Yes, your family. We're all family. We're all part of the family. We're all saved in the family of God, but there's a part in the body that he has for you. And whatever that is, that's what he wants. I was sitting on the plane. I think I was flying to go preach in Washington, and I'd been to Brazil a number of times with Pastor Dave, and I didn't know that you racked up. I knew you racked up air miles because, you know, like they give you so many mileage. You fly on the plane, they give you miles, and you can use those miles to get tickets. But I was getting my seat for the trip to Washington, and the lady said, oh, do you want to go to first class? And I said, no. Because, you know, that means it costs you money. I said, you're not getting my money, lady. I got none. And she said, well, no. She said, you have enough upgrades to get it and go up to first class. And I said, well, what's an upgrade? Well, I didn't know that if you fly so many miles, you get like one upgrade. And one upgrade is like a 500-mile trip. You get, if there's an empty seat in first class, they move you up. And you have to fly like thousands of miles to get one upgrade. And so for my trip to Washington, it was going to cost me three upgrades. So she said, it's going to cost you three upgrades, and you can fly first class all the way to Washington. And I said, well, how many upgrades do I have? And she said, well, you have 54 here. It's like, I like upgrades. Now, I didn't even know. And so I'm like, yes, put me in first class. So I'm sitting there on the front of first class, and when you're up there on upgrades, you feel like you want to act like you deserve to be there. You know, you don't want to, you know, play on your phone or anything. You want to read an important magazine or something, you know. So I'm sitting there in the front of first class, and it's like the Lord tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, look at you. He said, here you are, the front of first class. He said, a year ago you thought you were going to starve to death. And he said, and this is what he said to me, listen to this. He said, I'll always take care of you. Sorry, I got my cry sheet here. But then he said, you will never have the power to take care of yourself. But I will always take care of you. And see, that's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the New Testament walk in a nutshell. You don't get the power. And that's one of my problems with American Christianity is where people are chasing the power. If I can have $1 million, I get to choose who I bless. And we negotiate with God, but really, if we follow the proper businessman model set by Gary, you don't get a right to even choose who you bless or what you do with that. Even if you make $10 million, you still live the same. So there's a life of powerlessness where you don't have the power to choose where I live, what church I go to, what I chase after, what path I take. There's not an easier path if we're going to find the gospel of the New Testament. Don't be tickled in your ears, no matter what the devil brings. Me and John were talking. I said, you know, if it was up to me, I wouldn't preach. I would just sit in a hole until I got better. And then I come out. Because then you feel, say, you know, like, let me tell you about what I did, what's going on. I said, I'm preaching because I got to put my thumb in the devil's face and say, you're not going to win. So no matter what you feel, if you got to hobble up and preach, if you got to, if you go bankrupt 10 times in your business, if the enemy comes against your family, understand you're in a war. You're not a failure. So get up and do what you're supposed to do and don't stop. Because we're going to change the world. I'd rather go hear a preacher with a crutch who has miracles, not that I'm staying with a crutch, than a preacher who's got a big house and they can just teach me all kinds of things. There's people out there who are broken, not just physically, but emotionally. And they've given up on the gospel of America because it hasn't have given them answers. It's just given them guilt of you're not good enough. Faith, listen about faith. Faith is not the absence of struggles. Is what you use to go through your struggles. And I preached that for the last couple of years. Faith also does not have a watch. There's no time. In other words, well, God, is it tomorrow? Is it going to be better tomorrow? Faith doesn't ask that question. Faith says, I'm going to win. And I don't care how many foxholes I have to dig, how many bullets I have to dodge, I don't care what I have to go through. By God, we're not going to stop following the path that God put us on. You can say amen to that if you want. But as soon as you preach this, 90% of people go, I don't know if I like this gospel. You know, a sweet little couple comes to our church here and they hear Pastor Dave preach and he says, okay, you need to sell your big house and get a smaller house. Get your fourth TV and sell it. Get your big car and get a smaller car so you have more time to pray and less time to spend on the flesh. And one of the spouse member goes, yes, oh, that's so good. And the other spouse member says, not just them in the elbow or in the ribs. I don't know if I like this gospel. This church doesn't feel friendly. This church doesn't feel right. You know, and there's a gospel of pleasing that will tickle the ears of you and you feel good about going to church. How many know it's okay to feel good about going to church, but not to sacrifice the path that God has for you? Now, I guess I need to say this. I promise you, I was refusing to talk about the war, but some of you are probably going through worse stuff than I am, so please understand this, that whatever your war is, it's bad for you. Okay? And no one's worse. Don't think that, you know, it's little. Even though it may seem little to other people, to you, it's not little. So keep walking. Keep praying. Don't quit praying in tongues. It's what got you into trouble. It's what's going to get us out of trouble. But we're not here to compete with the American church. We're not here to fix the American church. See, it's okay to be a patriot, and it's okay to be a Christian in America, but you can't be both. Don't take your patriotism and turn it into a Christian. That being a Christian means you have to be a patriot. That I'm a Christian, so we're going to fight for America. You're not here to fight for America. You're here to fight for heaven. Oh, I'm getting in trouble right there. You got to be careful what hill you die on. You die on the hill of America, Christianity, you won't get to die on the hill of salvation for your family. That's the hill you want to die on. That's the hill you want to fight for. You don't want to die on the hill of a mansion here when you want to die on the hill of I want to see my family and my neighbors and my world saved. That's the hill you lay your life down for. So we're not here to compete with the church that has five services this morning, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, and 12:30. You know, how you get in and out of church in an hour, I don't know, but we're not here to compete with them because we're not here to judge them. The scripture says there's 30-fold, there's 60-fold, there's 100-fold. So we're not here to compete with them. We're here to follow God. And just like Gideon's army, if there's only a few 300, that's all he needs. He doesn't need a massive army. He's after those who will be willing to go through whatever the devil throws at you to stop you. But you won't stop. And so one of the things that I'm being freed of is what people think about me. You know, because about now, pretty close, the only one I can count on is God. If I want to feel good about myself, I can't look anywhere else but Him. All right. Chapter 8, Romans. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I can preach on that for a while, not talking, killed all day long. See, when you're killed, you're usually only killed once. Right? But here is a picture of a gospel of love that says you're killed all day long. In other words, you think you're dead today, you wake up tomorrow, and you die again. All day long, you got to pick up that cross and say, not my life, but your life, God. Whatever the price, I'm yours. God's so bent on seeing people in heaven that He'd rather see you go through war and the fight that you've been through because he knows you'll win, than for you just to have a sweet little life. And we think of a mama's love when we talk about God's love. A mama's love, my mom, if she could, she would trade places with anything I went through. She would live in a hut and give me a house. That's a mama's love. But see, the father's love is, I'm going to take you on a path where the devil's going to try to beat you up and stomp you and crush you, because I need you to be a vessel for me to get to the other side. That's his love. And his love doesn't look on this earth. His love looks to heaven. That's what his love looks for. Is the reward, which, you know, we don't know what it is. It's not a bigger mansion. It's something that will be such an honor to cast a crown at his feet. In Revelations, it's a crown for the overcomers. If you want to get that crown, you have to overcome something. See, the American gospel doesn't want you to be an overcomer. It wants you to be blessed. And if that's the gospel you're chasing, God bless you. We're not preaching against you. We're not against you. We're for you. We'll go do the hard work. We'll take the front lines and go get the world saved. You be blessed. We're not here to convert anyone. We're here to do what he told us to do. Hope I'm preaching okay. Verse 37. Yet. Say yet.
Yet.
Have you been through a little bit of struggle? Say, if you have, say yes.
Yes.
Now say yet.
Yes.
If you've been through a little bit of struggle, say yes.
Yes.
Now you say yet.
Yes.
So if you wake up and you're feeling boo-hooey because of your struggles, and it feels like all the motivation's left you, all the desire to change the world's gone. You know, why am I doing this? But you can't go anywhere else. You know, like I said, when I first found Pastor Dave, I said I love Pastor Dave. And then a couple years later, I was cursed as Pastor Dave. Not cursed Pastor Dave, but cursed as darn Pastor Dave. I did what you said, now I'm getting in trouble. Everything was good before I met you. You know, before I started praying in tongues, it'd be good. Yet, in all these things, what things? All the hell has thrown against you. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Yes.
See, our only answer to get through this war, any war, is through him. But you're going to get through it. You're more than conquerors. The devil's already defeated. I always took this, the devil's been defeated, as no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, I know all the right verses, but when it doesn't work, like, you know, people being kind, I know they're being kind. I'm assuming they're being kind. You know, gave me lots of reasons for my struggle. And, you know, or they tried to sympathize with me. You know, yeah, I had something happen to me, but I just confessed the word. I had something happen to me, but I used my authority and it went away. And yeah, I didn't do any of that. You know, I understand they're just trying to, you know, connect with me. But okay, here's my answer to where I'm at in my struggle. It is what it is. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to win. All right. But part of the American gospel says, if the devil comes to try to take your money, you just stop him. If the devil comes to bring destruction, just stop him, because it is preached in our, it's in me. And this, I have to root it out, justifying a pleasurable life rather than fighting for a warful life and becoming a man of God that's willing to follow God through barbed wire if that's what he asks of me. I don't blame God, not one bit. He's the one who's getting me through this. But I know what he's doing, because he wants to see what's better. I'm a better man today than I was 6 months ago. See? So it's worth it. It's worth it to go through the war, no matter how ugly it looks. You hear me? Don't let your ears be tickled. And don't chase this lazy, pretty gospel. The New Testament was not a gospel that was pretty. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him. And here he is, the Apostle Paul. For I am persuaded. Now when you're persuaded, that means convinced. Okay? I am persuaded. That means that it's been proven to you. All right? Persuasion means I proved it to you. My wife cooks better chicken than your wife. No, she doesn't. Yes, she does. Well, bring your wife's dinner over here and I'll bring mine and we'll taste it. And you're like, okay, I'm persuaded your wife cooks better chicken than mine. But persuasion means I persuaded you. So when the Apostle Paul's writing this, he's writing this out of his own battles. See, you can have a preacher that preaches, and it sounds good. They may be right, but when you get to say to your kids, to your family, nothing stopped me, they'll know. I'm not crying out of sadness, but out of joy, because we've involved my kids with my battle. And so that I believe so much that I want to win that I've told them, God is helping Daddy get through this. So they're getting to see the victory. And they're being persuaded that with God you can win no matter what. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This love here isn't how much he loves you. This is the path that you're on. The path that is a love to the world through you from God. And that if you don't stop, it doesn't matter if they try to kill you. It doesn't matter if it's a lion that tries to get you or an angel that tries, a demon that tries to get you. Nothing has the power to stop you from gaining victory. Your victory is not in the short term. My victory is not my healing. I'm already healed. My victory is to prove to this principality that I believe the word of God more than I believe you. And I believe that I can follow God more than you try to chase me off. I won't stop. You don't stop either. I was going to take us to Joshua, but we'll stop there. And we're on a path of love. And this word, this love, it's not just a walkway that you follow footprints. It's a... And if vain was a great definition, it's a vain. It's all surrounding, and you're surrounded. You're in a bubble, or I don't want to say bubble because a bubble looks like you're stationary, but you're in a vein that's moving, that you're walking down. And if you keep going, you're going to find all the love you need, all the power you need, all the grace you need, all the finances you need, everything you need. See, our goal, my goal. Every one of my family members is going to be in heaven. Amen. Not for them to have a happy life here, that they're going to be in heaven. Amen. And if you lost a child in this battle, understand, they're in heaven. And they're waiting for you. And it was, well, I'll be careful how I say this. Because a mama says, I want that child happy here today. But when you get to heaven, you realize God's grace was there. God's grace, God's mercy, God's power. I know that many of you have been through wars, and it seemed like, for me, the psychological warfare I went through, the emotional warfare I went through, the financial warfare I went through, then he threw this at me. We're going to go through it. It doesn't matter what he throws. And you don't have to go through. Sickness is not something that we will say the devil has a right to give to you. I'll never say that. But if you're going through a sickness of any type, understand it's him who threw it at you. And it's because of where you're trying to go. So it's don't let it stop you. Keep getting up. And sickness sometimes is the hardest thing to go through because it's right there every day. Doing certain things takes 10 times as long, or you can't do certain things. There's something being built in me through this. And that is my roots are going deeper in Him because He's all I have. The only hope I have for victory is through His Word. But bless God, we're going to win. Because His Word is truth and the devil's a liar. Don't change course. Don't get frustrated. Even if you are frustrated, even if you are hopeless and discouraged and you got no motivation anymore, so what? Get up. You haven't failed yet. You're still here. You're still on this path. Get up. Keep walking. Well, I haven't prayed for 2 months. Good. So you're nice and rested. Get back to it.